Okay, this morning will be my farewell sermon to all of you. They say it's easier to preach the first sermon and it's the most difficult to preach the last sermon. As a pastor, the first sermon, all you need to do is with eloquence, articulation, and then with the graphs of the gospel, you impress the people. But the last sermon, usually when you're in a church long enough like me, almost a quarter of a century, what I've said, you have all heard. So the sermon this morning is not to impress how eloquent I am or how articulative I am, no. Because you have heard it all over the last 25 years. I think the last sermon is most difficult to preach because there's so many things that you want to say before you take the departure. I think the important thing God impressed upon me is this, not to impress, but to imprint on your heart what God has laid upon my heart for you this morning. Now, I was thinking what to speak to all of us on this, my hopefully not the last sermon, hopefully I will be invited back. Pastor Edwin say I will definitely invite you back from time to time, and we do not know it's a time, it could be like eternity, God's timing. Anyway, I was thinking maybe to touch on the farewell speech of Moses. I thought it would be an appropriate topic because we just moved in here. Because the people were wandering in the wilderness for the last 40 years. And then before they entered the promised land, Moses reminded them that when you go into the promised land, when you are well fed, when you have raised up cattle, do not forget the Lord your God. But I thought I'm not Moses because I'm better off than Moses. Moses did not get to go into the promised land. At least I get to go into the promised land here for at least 10 months, even though short it is. So sorry, Moses, I'm better off than you. Now, back to the Word of God. So I was thinking, if it's not the farewell speech of Moses, then what can I share with the people here this morning? So I was thinking maybe to encourage the people to press on, to finish the race well. And this is one of my heart's desires, and that is to finish well for our Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, the first song affirms it all. We will be found faithful. That we will fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, said this, that I'm confident of this, that the Lord who began the good work in you will complete it in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe the work that God has given us here in Taman Jurong, God will complete it in due course in our Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning I want to speak to us on avoiding spiritual shipwrecks. It is also filled with thanksgiving that God has deemed me fit to be given this awesome responsibility to so-called be one of the pastors in this church for the last 25 years. You know, in the Singapore Bible College, there is this tradition that before you graduate, you must preach a sermon in front, during chapel hour, in front of the lecturers, the professors, and all the students. And it is quite a frightening experience. And most of them will prepare a very good sermon. And it is called your swan song. Swan song. So this morning, this will be my swan song. And then, a lot of students are very afraid to preach that swan song. Because swan, you can see on the surface, they are gliding through the water in a very graceful manner. But below, beneath the water, they are paddling like anything. That is the swan. But then one of the professors, so-called, calm us down, encourage us. He said, don't worry about the swan song. Do you know that the swan at the end of the day is still a bird? And whatever the swan gives to you is from the bird's brain. So take it, it's from the bird this morning. Avoiding spiritual shipwreck. Titanic. Doubt the unsinkable. on her maiden voyage on the 10th of April 1912, with more than 2,200 passengers and crew, Titanic, dubbed the Unsinkable, left the British port of Southampton and through the Atlantic going towards to New York City. Many people were rich people up there on board the Titanic. That was 10th of April 1912. Dubbed the Unsinkable because this is really a huge passenger liner. It will not sink. Unfortunately, is it okay? Yeah. Unfortunately, something is wrong. Okay. Unfortunately, after 4 days, on the 12th of April 1912, on the south of Newfoundland, Titanic hit an iceberg. And we know the rest is history. Only about more than 700 passengers were rescued. More than 1,500 people were drowned. The Unsinkable finally sank. When it hit the iceberg close to midnight, less than 3 hours, the whole ship went down. The boast of the Titanic, the Unsinkable. Do we boast about our spiritual faith? That we come to a point and say, I will never fall, I will never sink, I will be able to continue with the Lord to finish the race well. I hope all of us can finish the race well. The question we beg to ask amongst ourselves this morning is there a possibility of spiritual shipwrecks? This is a rhetorical question. The answer is obvious. Yes. According to Dr. Robert Clinton, a very renowned professor for leadership courses in Fuller Seminary, many of our Singaporean pastors and leaders sat under his feet. And Dr. Robert Clinton said this in one of his books, that during a survey, he surveyed amongst church leaders and pastors and missionaries. The survey, the result was pretty sad, that only 30% of the full-time people, be it pastors, missionaries, evangelists, finish well. Statistics cannot lie. So therefore, we need to take heed that all of us, we are sinners saved by grace, but we have the propensity to sin. We have the propensity to turn away from the Lord God we love. And therefore, we need to be very careful, avoiding spiritual shipwrecks. Let's turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. This is the letter Paul wrote to his spiritual son, Timothy. He says, Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them, you may fight a good fight, holding on to faith and a good conscience. Some have rejected this and so have shipwrecked their faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. Now, from this three verses here, I propose that we look into the four areas. And if you will follow with me, and the outlines are printed in the bulletin. Firstly, the reality of spiritual shipwrecks. Verse 19, the second part says, some have shipwrecked their faith. In other words, spiritual shipwreck is a reality. Some have abandoned their faith and therefore they have shipwrecked their faith. In fact, in 1 Timothy, from the very beginning of the chapter, in verses 3 to 6, Paul already commanded Timothy that you are to tell those people who are teaching false doctrine to stop teaching those false doctrine. And ask those people who are involved in myth and endless genealogies to stop all this. Because all this, they are no good. Because they only promote what? Controversies, and it does not do good to the work of God. And therefore, because of this, some of them has wandered away from the faith. They have, so to speak, shipwrecked their faith. You know, many had started well, but not many ended well. According to Dr. Robert Clinton in his research, in his survey, that many people started well, but not many ended well. I'm sure those of us in the Christian faith, we know that some of these people, they have started very, very well, but they did not end well. Reverend Dr. David Wong. Next slide. Okay, one of the students who sat under the feet of Dr. Robert Clinton when he was in Fuller, in his book, Finishing Well, he said this. By the way, Reverend Dr. David Wong is a Singaporean pastor, and he's quite well known amongst the leadership circle that he provides leadership guidance, and he mentors many of the so-called pastors in Singapore. And he was very saddened, and after having sat under the feet, I believe, of Robert Clinton in Fuller, he studied in Fuller, by the way, and he was very much a burden for people to finish well. That's why he started the ministry called Finishing Well. And in his book, he said this. He said, in a race, it is important how we start and how we run. But in the end, it is how we finish that matters. In life, the same applies. How we begin and how we continue, that is important. But ultimately, it is how we finish that really matters. Reverend Dr. David Wong in his book, Finishing Well. So there's this, the reality of spiritual shipwrecks. The second one. The reasons for spiritual shipwrecks. First part of verse 19. Not holding on to the faith and having a good conscience. That's the reasons for spiritual shipwrecks according to the passage here. Meaning a faith that is not strongly and deeply anchored and rooted in Christ. That's the reason. Not holding on to the faith. Not holding on to the faith in a very deep manner. An intimate walk with God and be deep rooted in the Word of God, and at the end of the day to have a clear conscience. You know, we always quoted Reverend Edmund Chan, and we talk a lot about his accomplishments and how he grew the church and things like this. But Edmund Chan was once backslided. In his book, Cultivating Your Inner Life, this was his testimony. He said, I was converted in 1968 because I had no firm roots. I believe later when he, together with the wife Anne, wrote Roots and Wings, it is because they discovered and they realized that how important it is for God's people to be deep-rooted in the Word of God. He said, because I had no firm roots, I backslided badly in my teenage years and remained rebellious. We thank God that God took him back and God raised him, and today he's such a blessing to the Christian community and especially to Covenant Evangelical Free Church. You know, not holding to the faith and having a good conscience. Not having a good conscience is meaning a faith of convenience and not conviction. A fair weather Christian. That means you are not doing it out of conviction, but rather out of convenience. And therefore, in many areas, you do not have a good conscience. You know that deep inside you, you do not really wish to walk closely with Christ. It is at convenience, at your convenience, that you do the work of God. At your convenience, you obey Christ. Other times, you are not, and therefore your conscience is not clear. And your walk with God is not intimate. It's not a close walk. And therefore, you do not seek to have a deeper relationship with God and you do not desire to go deep into the Word of God, and therefore you are floating around, not holding on to the faith. And when trials come, when problems and difficulties arise, these Christians, they cannot, and they fail because they are weak. They are not deep-rooted. All of us, we must continually seek after the Word of God, be deep-rooted in the Word of God, so that when the storms come, when difficulties arise, when we encounter whatever obstacles, we can overcome this by the grace of God. What do you mean by the grace of God? We deeply understand that God will see us through. We have that deep conviction, that close relationship with God, and the assurance that God is always our refuge. And when we run to Him, He will deliver us. You know, there are many reasons for spiritual shipwrecks. This morning, I want to take a leaf out of Reverend John Ortner and Sasha Silverman in their so-called bulletin, New Church Connection 2011, the issue number 5. Next slide, please. Learning from biblical characters who mess up. There are 4 characters he wrote on this issue number 5 in the year 2011. Firstly, he wrote about Jonah. You know, Jonah was given the privilege to be the prophetic voice of God. God said, Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach to them. Ask them to repent. But instead of obeying God to go to Nineveh, well, Jonah had it my way. He went out to Joppa. And it was interesting because they always say, Jonah went the other way. Jonah went the other way. So I was curious about preparing this, so I went into the biblical map to take a look where Joppa is and where Nineveh and where Tarshish is. To my surprise, Joppa is a port where Jonah set sail. But Nineveh is northeast of Joppa, about 550 miles. But from Joppa, Jonah headed west to Tarshish. Tarshish is about 2,500 miles from Joppa. That's how far he went, Jonah. He messed it up. He was a privilege to be given that honor to be the prophetic voice of God. He messed it. Secondly, Jacob. Jacob was a deceiver and a manipulator. A deceiver and manipulator. You know, Jacob tricked his father Isaac into giving him the blessing man for the firstborn, Esau. He tricked his father Isaac and he deceived his own brother Esau into selling him the birthright with some lentil stew. He messed it up. Later, I will tell you why he was such an important person that God used. Next, David. David, because of lust. David was a good king. But again, he committed adultery with Bathsheba and he committed murder by sending Bathsheba's husband Uriah to the front line where the battle was heavily fought to be killed. So David, even though he was a good king, the second king of Israel, he, because of lust, committed adultery. Because of committing adultery, he committed murder. Next one, Peter. We know Peter, his pride. He denied and disowned the Lord. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ, one night before he was betrayed, he gathered his disciples, and this he said to them. He said, this very night, Matthew 26, he said, this very night, you all will fall away on account of me. When Peter heard this, Peter turned to our Lord Jesus Christ and says, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will.
And Jesus turned to Peter and says, "Truly I say this to you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." Fast forward, a couple of hours later, Jesus was arrested. And they took him to Caiaphas, the high priest. And Peter followed behind from a distance. He did not go into the high priest Caiaphas' house, but he sat in the courtyard. And while he was sitting at the courtyard, the first servant girl came to him. He says, "You were with Jesus of Galilee." Peter turned to the slave girl and said, "I don't know what you're talking about." First time. A while later, another servant girl pointed to him. He said, "This fella had been with Jesus of Nazareth." Peter turned to her and with denial and on oath says, "I do not know this man." A little while later, those people standing around him went up to Peter. He said, "Surely you are one of them." And Peter brought upon himself curses and said to them, "I do not know this man." Immediately, the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, that this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. You know, these four biblical characters, they mess it big time. We'll come back to them later. Next thing, the result of spiritual shipwreck. "I have handed them," meaning Hymenaeus and Alexander, "over to Satan." Verse 20. You know, when we abandon God, when we encounter the spiritual shipwreck, we definitely will move away from God and indulge ourselves in sinful desires or become disobedient or rebellious against the teaching of God. And Paul says, "I've handed these people over to Satan." And these people, when they turn away from God, ultimately it will result in spiritual shipwrecks. It is for sure. The moment we begin to drift, the moment we begin to turn away from God, surely at the end of the day, we will be drifted far away from God. We will indulge ourselves in things that are not pleasing to God. We will go into a sinful mode, and ultimately, we will be found displeasing before God, and we will encounter that spiritual shipwrecks. What Paul meant here is not literally handing them over to Satan, but Paul meant here is to have nothing to do with this willful and sinful people, that I've handed them over to Satan. So in other words, we must so-called guard ourselves lest we go into that, lest we commit that spiritual shipwrecks. And the result of this is terrible. We'll be far away from God. And the next one, in verse 18 to verse 19, the first part, the remedy for spiritual shipwrecks. This is the next slide, yes. He says here, what's the remedy? Verses 18 to 19, the first part. Follow the instruction, fight the good fight, and hold on to the faith. Firstly, be obedient. Be obedient. Follow the instruction. Next slide, please. Yes. Be obedient. Follow the instruction. When we follow instruction, we will not go wrong. When we follow the teaching, the law, the decree of God, we will not go wrong. And therefore, it is good of us to submit ourselves to the teaching of God and regularly immerse ourselves in the Word of God and to be obedient to His every teaching, every decree, and every law. And secondly, be strong. Be strong. Fight the good fight. Be strong. Fight the good fight. You know, in life, there will be many challenges. In our pilgrimage, in our Christian journey, we will encounter many obstacles, barriers, crosses to carry. We need to be strong. Fight the good fight. Fight the good fight meaning we really go into the ring and give of ourselves to fight. You know, many a times, we are knocked down. But I always say this. When we are knocked down, don't give up. Don't ever get knocked out. You know, in a boxing match, we have seen this and witnessed this many times. Those who are knocked down, in the boxing rules, you are given 8 seconds to be up on your feet again. If you're able to get yourself up within the 8 seconds, and the referee deems that you're able to continue the fight, you can continue the fight. And many of these fighters, when they got up from the feet, when they were knocked down, they got up and they won the race. Let's not be TKO, technical knockout. When you are knocked out, that's it. Knocked down, okay, we can pick ourselves up. And in the Christian journey, in our pilgrimage, in all honesty, all of us, we have from time to time failed the Lord. We have from time to time sinned against the Lord. We have fallen many times. But by the grace of God, He stretched out His loving hands to so-called draw us back unto Himself. We were knocked down, but God did not allow us to be knocked out. I think that is the grace of God. Fight the good fight. Never give up. I'm sure some of you are fighting the good fight now. Perhaps you were knocked down yesterday, but were you knocked out? No. God pick you up. Along the way, you'll be knocked down. Many times, perhaps, but never allow one TKO to come into our life. Fight the good fight. The next slide, be faithful. Hold on to the faith. Hold on to the faith. Be faithful. What God has called us to do, be faithful. The song reminded us this morning that we will be found faithful the things God has entrusted us. And Paul is very confident that He who began the good work in us will bring it to completion in our Lord Jesus Christ. All we need to do is to be faithful to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We need to hold on to the Word of God and hold on to the faith and be found faithful. The next slide, conclusion. You must be thinking why I'm going so fast. I'm dying to witness my farewell surprise. And I told Pastor Edwin, make sure it's a pleasant surprise. Okay, conclusion. Beware. We are not infallible. There are attractions and distractions in life. We are easily distracted. At the same time, we are easily attracted. Therefore, be careful. You know, Bill Mills and Craig Parrow, in their book, Finishing Well in Life and Ministry, has this to say. Next slide, please. He says, we are living in a day where many men and women are beginning well in the ministry, but not many are finishing well. So many of our brothers and sisters began their work with a genuine call from God and a deep commitment to serve Him. Their faith was sincere and their love for God was sacrificial. Next slide, please. Next. Okay. Their highest desire was to give themselves for Christ and His kingdom. But along the way, the pressure, the pain, the disappointments, and the failures of life have caused them to burn out, to lose heart, and to give up. Isn't that true? We are not infallible. From time to time, we are distracted. From time to time, we are attracted by other things. That's why the writer to the Hebrews says this, fix your eyes on Jesus, lest we encounter shipwrecks or spiritual shipwrecks in our pilgrimage. Aware of our weaknesses. Aware of our weaknesses. We are all weak without the help from God. We are all weak people. And then, most of all, we are consistently inconsistent. Today, we say we want to follow the Lord wholeheartedly. Next moment, we desert the Lord. We are consistently inconsistent. The new year has just passed. We are coming to the end of January. Perhaps sitting here amongst us, some of us have already give up your resolution you set on the 31st of December. Maybe you give up or maybe you have forgotten conveniently. We cannot. We are consistently inconsistent. Finally, encouragement. A spiritual shipwreck does not mean that everything is over. It does not mean that we encounter a spiritual shipwreck, God has given up on us. And when we encounter a spiritual shipwreck, it does not mean that that's the end of my pilgrimage. I cannot go on with God anymore. No. Listen to Oswald Sanders in his book, Spiritual Leadership. By the way, this book, Spiritual Leadership, I believe is one of those books that many pastors will keep in their library. It is a classic. It is a classic. And in fact, some of the seminaries, when you do spiritual leadership, or when you do Christian leadership, or church leadership, this is one of the books that is a must read. A very wonderful book. Let's look at what Oswald Sanders had to say. He said this: a study of Bible characters reveals that most of those who made history were men who failed at some point, and some of them drastically, but who refused to continue lying in the dust. Their very failure and repentance secured for them a more ample conception of the grace of God. They began to experience the grace of God after they fell. So I want to encourage all of us, along the way, we will all encounter spiritual shipwrecks. Do not give up. When we do not give up, when we come back to God, we will be able to experience in an immeasurable way and experience the true grace of God. We live by the grace of God. You know, just now I was talking about the people who mess up, the so-called biblical characters who mess up. I want to take a look at Jacob. Jacob messed up. He was a manipulator. He was a deceiver. But then Jacob, God gave to him at the end of the day the name Israel, the nation Israel. And he became a patriarch of the nation. You know, today when you turn to the Bible, when we talk about the patriarchs, when we talk about Abraham, Isaac, we cannot leave out Jacob. The sentence will not be complete when we talk about our forefathers, even the Israelites, when they talk about their forefathers. The whole patriarch will not be complete, so-called, without Jacob. It's always Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You cannot say Abraham and Isaac and you don't mention Jacob. That's how important it is. God restored him. And secondly, David, even though he committed adultery, he committed murder, yet he's often referred to as a man after God's very own heart. And I like best, it's recorded for us in Acts chapter 13, verse 36 in the New Testament. And David was an Old Testament king. He says in Acts 13, 36, when David has served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He fell asleep after serving God's purpose in his own generation. He failed big time. Committed adultery, committed murder. Yet, he served God's purpose in his generation. After that, he died. All of us, we may fail God big time. But when we pick ourselves up again to serve God, God has a purpose for each one of us. We exist not for ourselves. We exist for God. And sometimes we do not understand what is the will of God in our lives. And sometimes because of spiritual shipwrecks, we think that is the end. Game over. We cannot do anything more for God. It is not true. Oswald Sanders says, when you come back to God, you will experience the grace of God. When you pick yourself up, you will be able to do the will of God and you will be able to serve God's purpose in your generation. We are living in this generation. Perhaps some of us, we do not know what's God's purpose for us, but live it out. One day at a time, trusting God. God will see us through. Next thing, Peter, because of his pride, he failed our Lord Jesus Christ. Big time. Even all will desert you, I will not. Even all disown you, I will not. But after that, when the rooster crowed, he felt very bad. After the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ, Peter told the other disciples, what are you going to do? I want to go back fishing. And it was on that day, the fishing, that early morning, Jesus prepared breakfast for them. And Jesus prepared breakfast for Peter, and he called him Simon, son of John. He You remember John 21? See, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus turned to Peter, feed my lambs. Second time he asked Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Take care of my sheep. The third time, Jesus says, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? Peter was sad because Jesus asked him the third time. And Peter said, Lord, you know I truly love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. He was given that pastoral role to take care of God's lambs, to take care of God's sheep, and to feed God's sheep. That reinstatement was very beautiful. Peter failed our Lord Jesus Christ big time. But our Lord Jesus Christ reinstated him back to ministry before his ascension. So I want to leave with you this morning. When you encounter a shipwreck, a spiritual shipwreck, likely all of us will, do not give up. Do not give up. The Lord has not given up on us. God has called us to this place. God has work for us to do. But in doing the work of God, it is not going to be easy. Satan will not leave us alone. Satan will cause division. Satan will cause hardship. Satan will cause discouragement, disappointment, disagreement, division. Beware of the schemes of Satan, lest we go into spiritual shipwreck. But beware of this. And also take heart that when we come back to God, no matter how big time a failure we are, God will raise us up, God will reinstate us, God will continue to put us on His side and to do His work until the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, or perhaps earlier He will take us home. Let's all live and serve God and to fulfill God's purpose in our generation. Let's pray. May I also invite the music team to come forward. Dear God and our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word to us this morning. Dear Lord Jesus, we confess before you we are weak, and therefore we need your grace every day to run this Christian race. By your grace, by your mercy, allow us, Lord, to overcome each spiritual shipwreck so that we can be restored to you, be reinstated by you, and to continue to run the race for you. Take us on to higher ground, for this is our prayer in your most wonderful name. Amen.